As I said, Jan Vermeulen is the editor at large at mybroadband.co.za, and it's always good to touch base with this particular man because he has so many fabulous stories to talk about. So, Jan, great to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, and welcome back.
Thank you, Boot. Thank you, and thanks for all those messages, by the way. I do appreciate
it. Yeah, it's a pleasure.
In between. Now, Jan, we'll start off with Cell C, who I happen to be. I mean, I went over to this bunch because they had, what's this thing called? Wi-Fi calling. So when I traveled overseas, I didn't have to put a SIM card in, right?
Yeah, very cool.
Very, very cool initiative. But I don't know what's happening now, hey? I see they're now starting to migrate customers off their network to MTN that I don't like very much. So, okay, talk to me.
Sure. So this is a process that started a while ago already, and the situation at Cell C was dire financially, to put it bluntly. And so they had to do something. And so what Cell C's plan has become is to basically stop investing in its own radio access network. So it's not going to be putting up its own towers anymore. It is going to be roaming on MTN's network effectively. And so it's got this complicated deal to skirt the regulations we've got in South Africa around spectrum sharing and renting out spectrum and stuff, because you're not allowed to do that. The spectrum that Cell C has, it needs to use that for its own customers. It can't just, you know, effectively rent that out to MTN and then they share that spectrum. You know, except for some kind of bilateral roaming deal, which doesn't make sense. So the bottom line is that Cell C has made this deal with MTN. MTN is going to be handling basically all of the networking side of things. This is how Cell C is going to reduce the amount of investment that it has to put into its own network and hopefully get itself out of the financial difficulties that it's in and eventually be able to drop prices. But first and foremost, it needs to pay off its debt. And that's been its challenge, and that's what this is about.
Where does that emanate from? Is it a Blue Labels telecom thing? Is it prior to that? Obviously, Cell C were given a bad deal in the first place. It took them very, very long to be able to get some type of parity when compared to the other service providers who had some protection for some time.
Let's delve into this if we have time. So this goes back to the very genesis of Cell C. And if you want, Vodacom and MTN are going to be quite upset with me now, but that's okay. But just before Cell C launched, Vodacom and MTN drastically hiked their off-network calling rates, effectively. So their termination rates. The rates that Cell C and Telkom and everyone else have to pay them to place calls to their networks. So if you are a MTN customer calling a Vodacom customer, you pay, MTN has to pay Vodacom for the privilege of connecting a call onto its network, right? It's called a termination rate. Now, just ahead of the launch of Cell C, and Vodacom and MTN will dispute, you know, the timing of things and so on, but the graphs show quite clearly that in preparation of Cell C getting its license and coming online, they drastically hiked their termination rates. I don't have the stats in front of me now, but it's something like from 20 cents a minute to over a rand a minute, right? It was just a huge price increase.
Yeah.
So Cell C was on the back foot from the beginning. That was when they were owned by Osia Telecoms, all right? Mm. So then, not to absolve Cell C of its role here, former CEO Jeffrey Hedberg made some bad calls. He said 3G was a fad, and Cell C did not invest in any 3G.
Right? Hold on. Just reverse. Yeah. He said it was a fad.
Yeah, he said it was a fad.
Wow. Bright spark. Okay.
Europe, they're already talking about 4G, blah, blah, blah. And so because there's a better technology, but I mean, we're already talking about 6G. That doesn't mean you don't roll out 5G. That was a bad management decision compounded on, duopolistic behavior in the market that really made it difficult for Cell C to compete in the beginning. And then Blue Label, you know, because to get itself out of the financial dwang that it's in, its former CEO hatched this deal with Blue Label Telecoms that would see Cell C's debt be moved into recapitalized, I think is the word they used, into RAND rather than in the foreign currency that it was in. And so to make it more manageable, but then also a couple of wrong bets there. Celsi bet on this black service of theirs.
Oh, that was terrible.
The media streaming platform and stuff. But that wasn't the only thing. The bottom line is that Celsi has this millstone around its neck in the form of this debt. Black or no black, it would have eventually come to this. And so, Celsi, the new CEO, has had to make many tough calls. Like the calls I'm receiving from inside Celsi, morale is down. Lots of their top people have left.
Got rid of a whole tier of management. I mean, you called the thing black when you're trying to get into the red. anyway.
Well, that's actually a good name for it, black. You're trying to get into the black, but just put you further and further into the red.
Exactly. Ay. Now, listen, what's happening between Facebook and GovChat?
Oof, this is an interesting story, and it's juicy because of the so many details to it. So firstly, Facebook has told GovChat that it's going to kick it off of WhatsApp because it's violated the WhatsApp Business API Terms of Service. So GovChat launched an appeal to the Competition Commission here in South Africa and said that Facebook is behaving anti-competitively. And so the bombshell dropped yesterday is that Facebook has had direct interactions with government departments that GovChat is dealing with basically the aim to disintermediate GovChat. So they're cutting off GovChat at the knees and then going and dealing directly with government, becoming a direct competitor to GovChat, or at least favoring GovChat's competitors, direct competitors like Prekult and others. But then, something that was very, very interesting is in this hearing, which I attended yesterday, it was digital, it was a Zoom meeting. The counselors, the tribunal asked GovChat to please explain its business model, because GovChat was very proud to announce that it offers its services pro bono to government. And so naturally the tribunal was like, but then how do you make money? And so GovChat asked to answer the question in a private closed session. It was closed to the public. And so for some reason, GovChat is super cagey about its business model, which raises all kinds of concerning questions. And so one wonders if that is not the heart of the matter. If Facebook, because one of Facebook's bones of contention is how GovChat is handling people's private information as it's sent over the WhatsApp network, right? Because WhatsApp has end-to-end encryption, but you're communicating with GovChat, right? And so they decrypt your messages. Now, then what do they do with it from there? And so apparently GovChat did answer those questions in the private session. They talked about striking it from the record, all kinds of technical legalese. And so I don't know if we'll eventually find out what that is. I've asked GovChat
if
they're willing to come clean. Because
what did Aldred say? Did you send him a message?
I've sent Aldred a message. He responded to me last night to my first battery of questions, which were already answered in the hearing, unfortunately. And then I sent him a batch of follow-up questions, but I assume he's extremely busy preparing for the next hearing date on Monday. I hope he'll get back to me in the next week.
Listen, I like what they were trying, what they're trying to do, right? But it's a classic Porter's Five Forces thing, where you're sitting with power of the supplier.
And Facebook, sorry to interrupt you, Facebook is in U.S. courts and European courts for exactly this thing, where they muscle out, where they wait for a startup to get something off the ground that looks good over their platform, over APIs and stuff that they provide. And then they cut that startup off. Either they acquire the startup, if it's valuable enough to them, or they just cut it off at the knees and take their business.
Yeah, a couple of names I can give Zuckerberg at the moment, and none of them are allowed on radio.
Amazon is accused of doing the same thing. No, there's big tech is going to face tremendous scrutiny, and it's interesting because in the earlier days of computer technology, all eyes were on Microsoft, and it was them in antitrust hearings. And everybody hated Microsoft. It's amazing to see how the pendulum has swung but and yet it is now all that's happened is Microsoft is not in the spotlight so much, but now there's five other companies that that are facing the ire of these regulations.
For those
around the world.
Who just tuned in, Jan Vermeulen is editor at large at mybroadband.co.za, and we are talking tech with him today. Your first story was about Cell C migrating, and they're going to be using MTN infrastructure. And Elizabeth asks a fabulous question. Elizabeth's in Agulhas. Hi, Elizabeth. Hello. Good morning.
Hi, morning. I wonder if you can help me. We have an entire community that moved away from MTN to Cell C, some Vodacom, but mainly Cell C, due to the fact that we have absolutely no reception, MTN reception in our area. We have tried everything. Vodacom has come and put up a tower where we are. Now, being Cell C, we used to obviously get our signals off the Vodacom tower. Now you are migrating to MTN. What's going to happen to this entire community?
Yeah, and there are lots of people asking questions like this.
Yeah, it's a good question. So, based on how we know this roaming agreement, or what Cell C has explained how this roaming agreement's going to work, you guys should not be affected at all. Cell C's existing coverage will remain in place. And effectively, all that's going to happen is that MTN is going to take over the tower side of things. It's going to handle the tower management and everything to do with the towers connecting you. But it's not going to all of that stuff is still going to remain Cell C branded. It's going to have Cell C's name on it, Cell C's logo on it, in terms of the network coverage. And so that shouldn't change. What might be a nice side benefit, depending on the area, is that you might actually end up getting MTN coverage in that area. But I wouldn't count my chickens. But I think you can rest assured that you're not going to be suddenly cut off from Cell C. If that changes, please let me know, and we'll ask them about it, because it really shouldn't change anything.
Okay, brilliant. What else do we have? I think there's another call here, Jan. You're so popular. Everybody phones in. Why do we have to wait months for the spectrum? So look, I'm going to get Mario to ask that question directly. Mario?
Good day, Kina. Good to have you back.
Thank
Good
you,
day
sir.
To have you back. Good day, Jan. Jan, why are the regulators holding on to the spectrum? This is the most stupid thing in the world. We need the spectrum to have better internet connectivity around the country, and yet they're holding on and making the people who need it wait for the spectrum to be released.
Yes, let's answer that question. So the spectrum process is finally happening after President Cyril Ramaphosa lit a fire under the relevant officials. So finally, some political will to get this process going properly. ICASA issued what they call an invitation to apply. The closing date for that invitation to apply was, I think, 28 December last year. And now, as predicted, well, as I would have predicted, other people might have tried to delude themselves into thinking they would have been able to avoid this. This thing is going to get dragged into court. So Telkom has a problem with the way that ICASA is planning to do the spectrum auction. MTN has a problem with the way it's planning to do the spectrum auction, but MTN, I think, is not going to pull them into court necessarily. And now ETV has a problem with some of the elements of the spectrum auction. And ETV has even asked to join Telkom's application against ICASA. So the process is happening, yes. That doesn't excuse the 15 years of delays that we've had to get to this point. But stuff is finally happening. And part of that stuff happening, even though you'll see a lot of reports on this in the media about the court battles and that sort of stuff, that's to be expected. You can please some of the people some of the time. And the people that you upset the most are probably going to drag you to court. But that's how we sort stuff like this out, have fights about it. And then, when you reach an impasse, then you go to the courts and see what happens there. But hopefully by the end of this year, we'll have some concrete answers about what's happening with the spectrum.
So everybody's trying to protect their business models at the end of the day.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And to ensure that they get their interests are protected. So MTN's dispute, by the way, is like about the fact that it's ICASA is talking about giving early access to smaller network operators to certain lots of spectrum, and it's not really clear which lots of spectrum ICASA is talking about. It looks like it might be all, but not all. And so there's a lot of uncertainty, which is part of MTN's problem about what's going on here.
Mm.
And so MTN says now, there's a chance that someone's going to come in and buy up all the 3.5 gigahertz spectrum that we want, and then we're not going to bid on anything. Then, the ones with the deepest pockets are not going to bid on the spectrum at all, and you'll lose out on all that money. The fiscus is going to lose out on all that money. It doesn't go directly into ICASA's back pocket.
No.
Telkom's contention is that ICASA is not doing enough to break what they call the duopoly of Vodacom and MTN. On top of some stuff around the digital dividend, which is why ETV is jumping in on this thing as well, because ETV is scared that mobile networks are going to start using the digital dividend spectrum, which is where ETV is currently broadcasting its channel, and it's going to cause interference. And so, yeah, there's a lot of technical stuff that needs to be sorted out as well.
The suits are all trying to hold on to their money, is what Jan's trying to tell you. Now, Elon Musk's, or Tony Stark, whatever you want to call him, this Starlink project.
Yes.
For those who don't know, obviously you're going to give us some background, but this could basically cripple South Africa's Square Kilometre Array Telescope.
Yeah, this is something I've been hearing about for a while, and it was great to finally see a report from the SKA about this, explaining it in some detail. It's also spectrum related. So for those who don't know, radio frequency spectrum is just think of the airwaves, the exact same thing that you're listening to this radio station over. That is all spectrum is. The issue with the Starlink satellites is that they are going to be orbiting in swarms around the Earth. Lots of astronomers are extremely unhappy about Elon Musk's plan here because of the debris it's going to cause up there. And now radio astronomers are particularly unhappy about the fact that Starlink is using a chunk of the same spectrum that SKA is going to use, which will effectively blind the SKA in those bands. That's the short version of the story. This is what the SKA, in their own euphemistic way, is describing as extremely worrying. And so, astronomers in general, I remember when Starlink was first announced, astronomers looked at this announcement and they're like, this is terrible. It's really going to limit our ability to do radio astronomy from the surface of the Earth if Elon Musk is allowed to continue with his plan.
So I wonder how all those MTI investments into Bitcoin went.
Oh, Kino, that is dangerous territory. But let's talk about the latest developments.
Mm.
The provisional liquidators were appointed this week. Four provisional liquidators were appointed, and they have, I believe, already applied for extension of powers. Those liquidators are the lead liquidator is Avia van Rooyen. Then there's H. Bester, Jacqueline Frida Barnard, and Deirdre Basson have been appointed liquidators there. There was a huge campaign to get Avia van Rooyen in there as the liquidator with the most experience in cryptocurrency stuff and Ponzi schemes. We'll see. Hopefully, they live up to their reputation. They're also busy with Voltage Solutions, amongst others. And so, hopefully their track record plays out here and they're able to get some money back to investors. But it's a rough road ahead for folks who put money into MTI, including people who managed to extract profits. Because if we look at the history of the Creon saga, I don't know how many people are old enough to remember that at the turn of the century, 1998 to 2002, it took years before money started being paid out to investors. I don't even know if investors is the right term there. Mm. And the scheme pranged in 2002. I think 2011 or 2013. No, 2011 is when people only started getting paid out. No, I think it was 2013. Sorry, correcting myself again. And in 2015 only is when the criminal side of the case was handled. and the mastermind between for Creon was actually put behind bars for 25 years at the ripe old age of 60. Hopefully we take lessons from Creon and don't allow this thing to drag on as long as that. But the fact that cryptocurrency is involved and like trying to get the cryptocurrency back and how to handle it and stuff, it's extremely challenging. It's something that we've never had to deal with before in this country. And so, the FSCA also saying that hopefully this sends a loud and clear message to anybody who thinks that they want to climb into a Ponzi, quickly turn around some money and then exit, to think twice, because when they go under like this and they get liquidated, then you're going to get sued to pay back all of the money that you invested, including your original capital amount, let alone the profits that you took out of it, so that it can be redistributed. Yeah, it's going to be a rough road.
I just have one voice note question for you. We literally have 2 minutes, so let's take a listen.
Hi, Kino. Can you ask Jan to clarify if he knows when Rain will allow these SIM cards to have unrestricted APNs for surveillance, camera surveillance, etc.? Thanks so much. Bye.
Interesting question.
Yeah, so I think I'll go back in my email archives and ask Rain about that. I think that they basically said no time soon. What this person is asking for is to be able to communicate to something from the outside your network into the Rain network that's not specifically allowed by Rain, right? So basically having your own servers on your network accessible on the open internet. And I think Rain has previously told me, no dice, that's not going to happen.
The bandwidth that's going to take up.
As a security measure. They're actually more concerned from what they told me is the security rather than the bandwidth. So unfortunately, I think I'll go double check the answers they gave me on that question, but I think they said no time soon. Sorry.
No. And by the way, just going back to MTI, has anybody found Johan Steinberg yet?
No. Watch Carte Blanche this week.
Are you going to be on it?
And I will say nothing further.
He's with Devi. He's with Carte Blanche. He's like Journalist of the Year. Anyway, that's why we talk to him. Thank you very much, Jan Vermeulen. Always a pleasure.
It's a pleasure. Keep well.
Thank you, sir. He is the editor at large at mybroadband.co.za.